Let's get it.
All right. Well, welcome back to the Intersection Church Podcast. Been a minute since we've done this. We all love doing it, and we all desire to do it more, but it's hard to find some time. Hey, man, we will.
Sure. We got some people added to the team.
Come on.
And we're going to be, I believe, doing some more podcasts.
Making some content.
Making some more content.
A little bit. Yeah. Camo. Hey, a little more content. But I wasn't at service on Sunday, but I heard it from everybody that it was a fire service. Yeah. And so, yeah, I want you guys to really bring me in. What
bring
what
you into I the deets? Praise in. God,
praise
baby.
God.
You know, I love gathering on Sundays. It just seems that sometimes certain Sundays, we just are able to just truly just feel the love of God, the power of God, you know, those dynamics change. But Sunday just felt like a reverent Sunday, like God was just in the room. So we worshiped. Some of the songs they sang was I Speak Jesus.
Praise.
What a beautiful name. And as we were worshiping, we actually had
a prophetic word,
and Denise came up, and she talked about how she just saw, like, the lion image of God just roaring over our situation and fighting our battles and fighting for us, and how His presence was here, and that we can just be in His presence, and how He was just roaring over our situations, and like, and pretty much just talking about His strength and His might, for us, and it was just like this beautiful picture in the middle of worship. And then a little bit later, Shanika said, I feel as though some people have been like in a spiritual rut, and they just like feel as though they can't get out of the spiritual rut that they're in. And she says, I feel impressed that it would be great to just have a moment where we just pray over those people. And I agreed, because I just felt like this was like a moment. You know, there's certain atmosphere you just feel like in the moment.
Yeah.
You don't want to just keep pushing forward just because that's the agenda.
Right.
And you know us, our value is giving God room. So that was Sunday was one
what
of those.
Agenda.
What agenda. Right. Right. But no, it was super. And so I went up and I just shared what Shanika said. Like, if you're in a spiritual rut, I want to let you know that God, he loves faith. Mm. And I just shared a story about how oftentimes God will ask us to do things to shape our faith, just as He asked Peter to step out of the boat. Jesus was shaping Peter's faith in that moment.
Yeah.
And when he stepped out, obviously, we know the story. When he focused on the waves, he fell down. When he took his eyes off of Jesus. And so with that type of invitation, I said, if you feel as though like you just are looking to take a step of faith, would you come up here this morning and let us pray over you and just pray over your situation? And so we did, and it was beautiful. We had, you know, if you go on social media or Facebook or Instagram, you can kind of see a couple of pictures of just the amount of people that came up to the front, which was a good amount of people within our church, which was beautiful, because mm-hmm. I love that we have a church that's vulnerable and willing to, you know, go into that. So that was just the worship portion.
Yeah, yeah.
And it shows that it was in line with the Spirit of God and what He was saying.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of people that came up and responded to it is a sign that the word was true.
Yeah.
The Bible says, out of mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established.
That's good. That's good. Bouncing off that, Ray and I were speaking at another church, and a really cool thing that she shared with me when we left was that the Lord, during worship, was giving her a picture of a lion.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, just like the unison of the spirit of us. And she was like, I don't know what it meant, but that's like the picture. And then hearing that Denise also had a picture of a lion, it's just, it's really sweet.
Oh, wow.
But then going off of that, for people who are listening to this, Sunday we had an altar call moment, taking a step of faith.
Mm-hmm.
There might have been people in the congregation who didn't respond in that moment, mm-hmm. who's listening back right now. There might be people right now who is listening, who feel like they are in a spiritual rut.
Mm-hmm.
How can they respond in this moment, in this time of their life, just as people responded on Sunday?
I think you always have an opportunity. There's no place that God won't be willing to meet you. There's a scripture that says, if you made your bed in hell, He's there. You know, if you're on the mountaintops, he's there. And so wherever you are, it's never too late to reach out to God and to allow him to know that his presence is there and he wants to meet you in that space. And also accepting that God, that Jesus overcame and that his blood, and this is something I spoke about on Sunday too. There are so many nuggets that I spoke about. But before I even talked about that, I said there are already things that are agreeing on your behalf. And the Bible says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is interceding. The blood of Jesus wants to cover you and the water wants to wash you clean.
Come on.
And those three things, I believe in 1 John, says they agree on your behalf.
Come on.
and it also says that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in agreement on your behalf. They're all for you. So if you're in a spiritual rut, you got so many layers of things and tools that God has made available to you to let you know that you don't have to stay where you are, and that through his love and through his kindness, it says that he draws men in. So he's not this super angry God that is mad at you because of where you are. He's this God that's inviting you into his presence.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So what is a practicality? What does that response look like right now in this moment?
I would say that a person who's in a rut right now, the first step is to begin to actually put their faith in God. Sometimes we put our faith in the circumstances that God has put us in. Mm-hmm. And when those circumstances fall apart, so does our faith. Mm. And so actually separating God from the circumstance or even from life itself. And the Bible talks about sanctifying the Lord in their eyes and making him high and separate, the Most High, and putting your faith in him in a separate way.
Yeah.
Will cause you to move toward God. The Bible talks about faith toward God, and faith without works is dead. So your faith will activate you into spiritual movement out of that rut and out of that place, and you will begin to progress forward spiritually to where God wants you to be and in his will.
So good, bro. So good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's worship.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also heard that the message was toasty, bro. Crispy is what I heard. It was a little fiery up in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you guys preached together, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny.
They like to call us yin and yang. You know me, I'm always getting real fire. Oh, yeah, Paige is always very whispery and calm.
The spirit.
He has the great whispering spirit.
What is that? What is that when people like tap on their mics? And
the
stuff
ASMR.
Like ASMR, yeah. The gentleness of the truth that just
I don't feel like I'm that low, but a lot of people tell me I am, so I must be. I just gotta accept it.
Two or three witnesses.
I gotta accept it that's what it is.
Yeah, so the message was good. Paige and I did some studying throughout the week, and it was just really fun. I love studying together with our team and like being able to present something to the church that we have just been praying over and, you know, allowing to rest in our hearts. And so our series that we've been going through is Seated, and talking about being seated in heavenly places and what that means. And so we have one more week of it this week, but this was kind of like this Sunday, we just wanted to talk about what it means from the inside out of having dominion in the kingdom of God, and what it means when you're seated in the heavenly place, right? When you're seated in the position of authority, what are the things that in that dominion, in the kingdom of God, what are the things that we need to conquer in our lives? And I was in at the beginning of the message, I was just sharing, we're going to be using a lot of kingdom language in it. And so I'm just going to read the verse since we're just kind of recapping of what we did on Sunday. And then we can just go from there. And so this is what we read. We started off in Ephesians chapter 2. We went through verses 4 through 10 to start, and it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then the first slide went to, God has given us dominion as his workmanship. And so we have to understand, when we are in Jesus, Jesus fashioned us in such a way that he already knows the works that he's calling us towards. He already knows the battles that he's calling mm-hmm. us towards. And as his workmanship and as his soldiers, we have to understand that we have a level of authority and we have a level of dominion. And dominion was our first inheritance / gift that God gave us.
Mm.
And so I'll read Genesis, and it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So I won't read the rest of it, but we see that one of the first things that God gave man when he made them was dominion.
Yeah.
And for us to be able to take control, to subdue the earth and wield it from its raw resources. So,
no, that's good. I feel like just going off of that, I think it's Colossians talks about how we were created for good works, that mm-hmm. that he has prepared good works for us from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it is a level of dominion and authority that we also have received, but there's also a stewardship that we have to then mm-hmm. take right. as well. Right. Like, we've been given this right. gift. Mm-hmm. I'm not just going to sit on it, but right. we have been given gifts to give.
Yeah. Right. You know? People always look at predestination as this thing, like you're either predestined to go to heaven or you're predestined to go to hell. Yeah. Instead of looking at predestination, is that God has already created mm-hmm. a work and a space yeah. for us to operate. And if we were to be obedient Jeez. To what he's saying, if we were to say A plus B equals C, he's saying, hey, I've already made a formula that A plus B equals C. It's yeah. been predestined. It's been established. So yeah. when you operate with A and when you operate with B,
right.
C is what's going to come out.
Yeah, that's so good. He provided A. We're B.
We're right. B. And then C is the result. Yeah. Exactly. Mm. And so that's what, and so a lot of times when you think of predestination, it's not about like this thing of salvation. He's saying that he's already created something mm-hmm. for us to walk into. We mm-hmm. just have to have the faith
yeah.
to walk in that authority and walk
and the
in
the willingness.
That, yeah.
Praise God,
baby.
So that's point one.
Yeah.
Amen.
The next point was, this dominion is given back to us today through the kingdom of God. And so we all know, well, most know that the dominion was taken from Adam and Eve by Satan, and he deceived them.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus came back, operating in the kingdom of God, he brought that dominion back to the earth. Mm-hmm. That's why he would often say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. He brought it back to the earth, but not until he died and paid the price and atoned for us with his blood could he give that kingdom to us.
Wow.
And so once he did, he gave that kingdom back to us, and he made us kings and priests. But in Luke 17:20-21, it shows us where he put that kingdom. It says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. That means by outward appearance. It says, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And so Jesus was telling the people at that time, don't look for the outward appearance of conquest of a kingdom, but this kingdom has now been placed within you.
My goodness.
So the dominion starts with you, and you having domain or dominion over yourself. Then you will have dominion over the world around you. But it has to be over yourself, because that's where Adam and Eve lost it. They had dominion over the whole earth, but then they gave Satan dominion over them. And so now they have to win back that dominion, being advanced in the earth by first having dominion over themselves and yielding themselves to God so that they can advance the kingdom and gain back that dominion over the earth around them. people.
Revelation is talked about that qualifier.
Yes.
And what was that? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry. I was going to tell him to read the the Revelation verse is what gives us.
Okay.
He's going to read a verse in Revelation 1 that pretty much is what a scripture verse that's saying, like, why we are qualified to be kings, why we are qualified to have dominion.
Yes.
Hit us with it.
And it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over all the kings of the earth, that's you and me, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And John 14:30 says, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. And I'll let Pastor elaborate.
Well, that, I mean, it was just essentially what we were saying is that we have to understand that Jesus' blood is what's qualified us to be kings and priests. And with us being kings and priests, we have to understand the battle that we're in. And the battle that we're in, Satan's biggest tactic is to intimidate us. When it comes to our spiritual, when it comes to spiritual warfare, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, we have to understand that we're qualified by the most powerful thing ever, which is Jesus's blood.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I was sharing this with the church that last Thursday at our Bible study. Paige may know that says that Jesus, there's a scripture verse that says that Jesus swallowed up death. And so pretty much Paige said it's like the Bible talking trash that Jesus ate death for lunch. Like, you know what I mean? And it's just saying, like, oftentimes when we don't walk around as kings and priests knowing that we have one of the most powerful, the most powerful source ever, the person who's overcome death. And we need to walk with a confidence and a conviction, knowing that although there's battles before us, that as kingdom citizens, it's important to know that we have God on our side.
We have the victory.
Yeah.
There's a scripture that says, praise be to God who always causes us to triumph.
Mm.
So God doesn't plan any defeat for our lives.
Yeah.
Only victory.
That's so good.
And so we have to take that mindset of always having a mindset of victory no matter what.
Yeah.
David is a good example of that, but
yeah.
I want to get this.
No, yeah. We're going to make it not too long, but so we have dominion. We've been made kings. And ladies, that counts. You count as kings because you're in the image of Christ. We're made priests. Mm-hmm. And we can walk in that authority because of the blood of Jesus. And Jesus even says in John 14 that Satan came to him, but he found nothing in him, which means that Satan had nothing to pull with Jesus. He had nothing to put to make Jesus guilty with. And that's the same way that we can operate, because his blood and Jesus's life is now our life.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can walk as Jesus walked. We can talk as Jesus walked and be made into his image. But as we are in this kingdom and as we have dominion, we have to understand as citizens of the kingdom that we have to understand the conquest that's before us. And so I gave a little definition of what a conquest is. And a conquest is the subjugation, or to take control, an assumption of control of a place or people by use of military force. We know that the scripture says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. That's a part of our conquest. And we have to understand that the conquest that we're on, it starts actually from the inside out. And so we kind of broke it down into three conquests from the inside out that we have. And so the first conquest that we'll talk about is the soul, which is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. The second conquest is our flesh. And the third conquest is the kingdom of darkness. And so I'll let kind of Paige talk about that first conquest, the soul.
Yes, I think it's first good to understand the context of your soul and what it is comprised of, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Also your conscience or your moral compass or guidance. And so I think when you go into dealing with your soul, you have to realize that you have to yield it to God. You have to yield it to the kingdom of God and to the ways of God. The Bible says in Romans 12, I believe, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so God is doing a renovation in your mind. He's doing a renovation in your emotions. He's doing a renovation in your will. And your will is what you're willing to do or what you're not willing to do. In simple terms, what you will and won't do.
Yeah.
And so God has to renovate those things so that you come into union with him. John 12, 24 through 26 says it this way. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain
of... Hold on. Actually, before you even read that verse, I'm sorry. I wanted you to make point that you shared on Sunday.
Yeah, Jesus will point to our soul before he points to the world around us or before he points to our impact. So he would always point to his disciples or to the Pharisees or the people he was ministering to. He would point to the issues of their soul or the issues that is within them before he ever commissioned them to go out and do something. So he was showing them the kingdom's priority. And even in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, where we have the Beatitudes and all those things, it's all addressing the inward man and how the inward man operates.
Wow.
And so he's showing you the kingdom way. It's first to deal with the man within, then deal with what's without. He actually rebuked the Sadducees and Pharisees for doing the opposite. Mm-hmm. He said, you worry about cleaning the outward, but the inside is dirty or full of dead man's bones.
Mm.
And so God is moving from the inside out, which Pastor JD just said. So when you come into the kingdom of God, don't be shocked if God starts dealing with you on your issues, on the things, your weaknesses or your flaws or ways about you that are not like him. That is a part of the kingdom conquest happening within you. Mm-hmm. But you have to yield to that.
Yeah. And then that goes into the verse of like how we have to learn how to die to self so that we can be most available for God. Because unless we die to ourselves, unless we die to our old form of life, the old is gone and new has come, we'll never able to be truly formed into the new image that God has made us in and live into the image that he's called us into as kings and priests of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so John 12, 24 through 26 says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. And so this just goes to show in our first conquest, the emphasis is never supposed to be on us. It's never supposed to be on me. Jesus puts enough emphasis on me in pursuit by him dying on the cross and through his blood and through him giving us the Holy Spirit that it never needs to be about me. It needs to be me. Putting my mind on the king, because that's what happens in a kingdom. In the Bible, the gospel wasn't just a Bible term. This was a kingdom term that meant the gospel is the euangelion, which means the message from the king. It is the good news from the king. And so whatever the king said or whatever decree or whatever the king said, the whole kingdom had to follow suit with this news that was good news. And we know that sometimes to the people, what the king thought was good news wasn't good news to them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you got to pay these taxes now. Good news for the kingdom, maybe bad news for you. Yeah. There's some things that you're going to have to sacrifice in this good news, and there's some things that may have to die in your life in order for the kingdom to be successful.
Yeah.
But we have a really good king. That's and so a personable good. King, and what he has in store for us and what he's predestined for us is to never to leave us short. It's always to give us more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we have to understand, that the emphasis never, we need to never have the emphasis on ourselves, because we need to have the relationship with the king in order for us to understand in him we have everything that we need. And that in that we're called to follow Jesus. We're called to apprentice under him. And our salvation is not about just getting saved and making it to heaven. And I like a quote, I quoted John Mark Comer. Surprise, surprise. And one of the quotes that he says in his book, Practicing the Way, he says, for Jesus, salvation is less about getting you into heaven and more about getting heaven into you.
Yeah.
It's not just about him, Jesus, becoming like us, but also about us becoming like him. It's less of a transaction and more of a transformation. And so when it comes to us in this first conquest of our soul is supposed to be the breeding ground where heaven can come and reshape and redeem our mind, our will, and our emotions. All those things before we come to Christ need redeemed.
Yeah.
But after we come into Christ and we follow him, he is our redeemer and he's sanctifying us. And so he's teaching us how to sanctify our emotions,
yeah,
how to sanctify our will. And even Jesus did this himself, right? He said, Lord, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. And it even showed that Jesus himself had own will as a part of the Trinity, but he still allowed himself, even as King Jesus allowed himself as a example to us of what it meant for him to be subject underneath the Father, not mm-hmm. considering himself equal mm-hmm. to him. He didn't consider himself equal.
And I think that's important to realize, because when Jesus was 12, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Mm-hmm. And so we have to realize that we have to be about our Father's business mm-hmm. and that it's his business and it's our job to learn the ways of that business.
Right.
And how to expand it and how to scale it and how to make it the most successful that it can be in our lifetime. And so we have to take that mentality on. Many believers don't take on the mentality of, for lack of a better, of world domination. Mm-hmm. We take on the mentality of having good services, just having a good church, whatever, branding, but we don't take on the mentality of world domination. And that's the mentality of our Father. He said he sent Jesus into the world that he could save the world. And so it's a totality in there that we're trying to reach the world. And that's a mindset that the early church had that I feel like much of the 21st century church has lost. Mm-hmm. They were like, we're taking this to the, as the scripture said, the uttermost part of the earth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we can get so detailed in our focus, like, I would just want my church to be good, but what about your city? Mm-hmm. What about your state? What about the world around you? And how are we going to affect that with the kingdom of God? So I believe in embracing our Father's business mindset, we have to expand our thinking beyond just ourselves, our lives, our church, but to the world and how we can be most impactful in that.
And way. I think a good distinction to make is that that's what's at stake when you don't allow the proper process for the conquest that God is trying to do with
yes.
you. And so as we're talking about, you know, your soul, and then you talk about the city, you're just like, okay, which one am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to focus on my soul? Am I supposed to be on the city? We have to understand that the process of that, people like to skip steps. Talk about what it means when we skip steps really fast, about when God's wanting to do something in the process in you, but you skip steps.
When we skip steps, we create openings, gaps, gates, whatever you want to say, for the enemy to come in, because those are the places that are undeveloped. Because if we follow the process of God the way he planned it, we shut those doors to the enemy. And he either eradicates what was in us that Satan would use, or puts in us what wasn't in us that Satan would use as well. And so whatever we needed to have taken away, or whatever we lacked, God would put in us so that we can be sufficient. That's a part of his grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so his grace covers all of our weaknesses and flaws so that we can have everything we need. But that only comes through the process of following Jesus in the way that he's taught us to. If you're overly ambitious and you want to skip steps or you just want to have influence, all those things, you may have some impact through the things that you did allow him to develop. Mm-hmm. But the gaps and those holes and those gates are going to come back to bite you in the butt.
Absolutely. And I think for me, what that looks like in my own personal life is there was a season and a time where I had to remove myself from certain contexts in order for God to do that work in me. And I found myself once I was, you know, around a certain group of people who were healthy for me, you know, not going out and partying and drinking and doing those things. I found myself comfortable enough and feeling as though I was strong enough because I've removed myself for so long from those spaces and God was doing the work. They're like, oh, it's cool. I can go out and do this X, Y, Z. But I realized when I would go out into those environments, I actually wasn't as mature in my thinking. I wasn't as mature in my self-control as I thought I was. And I think sometimes because we say that we've given our life to Jesus, that means that we can automatically go back into these places that we used to be in, the spaces, and have the same friend groups that we used to have, because now we have this strength in Jesus. But you actually haven't given Jesus the time and the process to teach you how to walk in the newness of your identity and the newness of this new life as a king and a priest that he's called you into. And that's why it's so important for you not to skip steps, because then Satan's going to take you. As soon as you get into that old environment again, you start feeling those old things. You haven't built up things within your soul through the Spirit in order for you to overcome, you know, and to say no. So, yeah.
That's good. I feel like what it kind of makes me think of is the example that we used earlier, A plus B equals C. The Lord made us B, right? But we were D before we were saved. Mm-hmm. And so A plus D can't equal C. Mm-hmm. So the Lord shifted us and changed us. And Galatians talks about, you know, fighting so that way we don't fall into what we used to be, the people that we used to be, that D that we used to be. But he wants us to be B in order for him, A plus us, B, to equal C, which is what he wants to produce through us in at the end. I think that's really good. That's like a huge part of the walk.
That was one of the verses we used, I believe, Galatians 5:16 through 18, which went into the second conquest, which was the flesh. Paige, I'll let you talk about that one and then read that verse and then just elaborate.
Galatians 5:16 through 18, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And we reference Romans 8:2, because a lot of times when we hear the law, we think of the commandments of God that he gave to Israel. But the law that Paul is talking about is the law of sin and death. And that law of sin and death came on the whole world when Adam and Eve relinquished their dominion to Satan. And so the law that God gave to Israel was a schoolmaster, the Bible says, to them, to help them learn the ways of God. But they couldn't fulfill it because they didn't have the grace of Jesus Christ to do so. But the law of sin and death is what we yield to by default when we don't yield to the Spirit. And so that's where we deal with even our will, but our will is tied to our flesh. And your flesh will only do as much or not as much as your soul has been sanctified. And so if your soul is sanctified to a certain degree, it limits the pull that your flesh has on you. Mm-hmm. If your soul is unsanctified to a certain degree, it heightens the pull.
Give us an example. Okay.
An example would be me with women. Mm-hmm. And I laugh because me and Pastor JD had a conversation about boundaries this week. But an example would be me being not allowing God to sanctify me in the proper wisdom and boundaries that I should have around young ladies as a married man, and allowing things to take place on my end or on their end that would open spaces to Satan or open spaces to the flesh to have a foothold or to operate in sin or potentially fall. And so by not allowing God to sanctify that place in the Spirit of my mind, I go in with a mindset believing that certain things are okay or permissible when they're actually not in my best interest. and they create doors that open to things that could potentially hurt us in our relationship with God and those around us.
Yeah, and I think one main example of that is just through social media, yeah. Right? And so this wasn't an example that you gave that, you know, for you. Actually, that came from us talking about, like, why we have rules about a guy not riding with a woman by himself in the car. And you said that's a foreign concept. You never even knew anything about. You never heard about that. And I was just sharing with you where there needs to be certain boundaries when it comes to those things to not even allow your good to be spoken evil of or being right. beyond reproach
right.
and things of that nature. And it was a funny conversation because he was like, "What? I can't ride with another person because he's never heard of it." And so that's what he was saying. That's why he started laughing, yeah. But because we were just sharing with him about just all that stuff. But anyways, yeah. But when it comes to even the social media, there's so many things that were like, "Well, it's permissible because I can be on Instagram, all that stuff." And you know, for me, I found that like I'll be watching workout videos and all that stuff when I'm in a workout mode. But then all of a sudden, you start seeing certain images and stuff like that. You know, you shouldn't be yeah. watching those.
You're not
things
inspired or, to work out.
Yeah, you're not being inspired to work out. Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, oh yeah. Wow, you need to learn that. Like this may be permissible, but it's not beneficial for what yeah. it is. And then I have to learn how to war against my flesh. Mm-hmm. Whereas, yeah, I can be on social media, but I need not to like. Have the algorithm where I'm looking at workout videos all the time. You know what I mean? Right, or if not, right. I just need to get off of social media altogether. Mm-hmm. And I know this sounds silly, but I know a lot of people who are in bondage because of these yeah. things.
You
and,
have to take extreme
and they have to
sometime.
Fight certain battles that they normally wouldn't have to fight if they were just to understand the battle that they were in. Mm-hmm. And they would just simply make the choice not to put themselves in compromising positions.
And that's the death to self.
And that's the death of self.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so when it comes to conquering our flesh, it's simple, but it's hard because there's so many things that iniquity has shaped in us.
Yeah. And you have to be truthful with yourself mm-hmm. and where you are.
Yeah.
If you're operating out of a place of deception or out of pride, you won't acknowledge your sinful inclinations or you won't acknowledge your weak areas or your flaws. And you'll say, oh, I don't have a problem there. But really, you actually do.
Right.
And by not acknowledging it, that creates a whole opportunity for Satan to pull on that thing through your deception.
Yeah.
The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and he will guide us into all truth. Mm-hmm. So we have to acknowledge the truth about us, even though it may be painful or humbling.
That's good.
And acknowledge that truth because it's ultimately saving us and redeeming us.
Yeah, that's good.
That's so good. So first one, soul. Second one, flesh. Mm-hmm. What's the third?
Kingdom of darkness. And as we talk about this and we're transitioning from one conquest to the next, it's important to know you don't ever conquer one and then you're done with it.
Right.
If they build upon each other.
Yeah, that's yep. good.
They build upon each other. Yeah.
Operating in each one.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that it's less of a linear like this, but it's more of a layered blending, yeah. A thing of what you're always consistently taking to God, what's in your soul. You're consistently denying understanding your that you're that denying your flesh daily,
yeah.
having to put on the mind of Christ daily,
right.
taking in your daily bread because it's a daily walk to conquer these things. Because just like in the kingdom, you can conquer a territory, but if you don't have that territory under surveillance or under the right type of system or structure, that space in that territory you can often rebel unaware, and you lose that territory
yeah.
And that space in the kingdom. Yeah. And so the third one is the kingdom of darkness. And Mark chapter 3:26-28 says, kingdom of darkness. Yeah, Mark chapter 3, verses 26-28, it says, and if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he's first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. And this is talking about that we have to understand that there's certain processes when it comes to us conquering and God calling us to conquer. And Paige, you speak to this because I think you did a fire job of talking about the kingdom of darkness and conquering the strong man, which is yeah. in ourself.
Yeah.
And then going.
Yeah. And once you conquer the strong man of your soul and you consistently form a pattern of conquering the strong man that is in your flesh, the more authority and the more dominion and effectiveness you have for the world around you, because it is now truth in your life. You're living out of dominion first in yourself, and you can give what you have attained. Peter said, "Such as I have, I give to you." This is part of the reason why a lot of believers aren't as effective in the outside world and influence in the world around them, is because they don't have a lot of dominion yet being expressed and conquered within them. And so the enemy knows where that conquering process generally is. He doesn't know the specifics, because only God reads the heart. But he can see, because he is a spiritual being, so is the kingdom of darkness, spiritual development. Mm-hmm. And they're able to discern spiritual development. And so we have to be discerners of our spiritual development. And you're not, here's a sign of wisdom, a counsel would be a better word, is we're not to do warfare when we're not instructed to do warfare. Mm. Solomon said, make your warfare by wisdom and counsel. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times when we're saved and we're on fire for God, we have we're going to save the world. Everybody's going to know Jesus, and I'm going to tell it to them. Mm-hmm. And so, which is great.
Yeah.
It's just great. But it has to be balanced with the wisdom of knowing your assignment.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
And that's where the will of God comes in. Knowing your assignment, knowing your place of influence, knowing who you're to influence. If you start to pay attention spiritually, and I know I'm being more specific right now, but if you start to pay attention spiritually to your life, the grace that is on your life or the giftings that is on your life, you will find a pattern. Like, some people are anointed to really influence men. Some people are anointed to influence a certain demographic of people. Some people are anointed in the deliverance or healing or certain things where there is an amplified grace on their lives. But all that being said, if you don't conquer the things within, even having those giftings and graces, it's only a matter of time before you fall on your face. Mm. Because you haven't processed yourself enough to go the long haul, or to go the distance, so to speak, with the calling on your life. And so many times, and we see it, but we don't know where it comes from, we'll see certain leaders or different ones fall and do these things. And we're like, well, how did they serve in ministry for 15 years, 20 years successfully, and this and that? But there were soul things. There were flesh things that in their private life they did not conquer. That in their private life they did not allow to be sanctified. And all the while their gifting and grace was operating. Mm-hmm. But Satan had a hold or a hook, so to speak, to pull on to eventually get them to fall. And so we don't look at it this way, but it took 3.5 years for Judas to fall. Mm-hmm. It took a period of time for God to, because he was with Jesus, for Satan to pull him to such a degree that he would betray the kingdom that he was a part of. And so in spiritual warfare, you have to have humility. Mm-hmm. And you have to have wisdom to be led by the Spirit on which battles to fight. David would always say, you don't go to war without consulting with the Lord. He would always consult with the Lord. Should we go up? Should we fight? Should we not? And so we have to take the same mindset in going into spiritual warfare, because if it's not your assignment, you're out of alignment. And when you're out of alignment, you're going to fail, even if it's the right thing.
Wow.
It's like, yes, God wants that to be done. Yeah. God wants that to be conquered.
And I feel like we see this all the time in, like, politics, where 100%. I feel like God has graced. I feel like God maybe graced some churches to fight that battle.
Yes, absolutely.
And he may have graced other, and maybe other leaders to fight other that emphasis. Battle, yeah. Because of their their makeup, their background. Mm-hmm. But that's not for all of us to say, like, oh, well, you statement. Shouldn't, because you're being silent about politics, you are conceding to this agenda or that agenda. Or because you're being vocal about politics, you're conceding to this agenda or that agenda. Yeah. And it's just like God puts a different grace on each person. Mm-hmm. What we should be more so focusing on is how they got to that place and the process of how they got to that conviction.
Right.
And how God. And if I was to hold a brother or sister accountable when it comes to those things, I wouldn't accuse them before I asked them how they got to that process of how they're doing warfare for the kingdom of God. And I think sometimes we see the fruit of when people aren't doing that, and we see the fruit of it when someone does it really well.
Right.
I've seen politicians who are Christians who do a really great job in the political sphere who are saying that they're Christians and advocating for something. And I see politicians who are advocating saying that they're Christians who do a terrible job. And I think it's the grace and the favor and maybe who God's called them to, or maybe even their process of how God they've allowed God to use them to be in that place. And I think that goes through a lot of different things other than politics, but that's the number one thing. It's an election year, so we might as well start talking about that stuff now. But yeah, I think that it's important for us to see the picture of Peter, of someone who went from a fisherman to someone to where his shadow would literally heal people.
And speaking of politics, Peter became globally known.
Yeah.
Paul became globally known.
Mm-hmm.
And emperors and kings knew them by name because they were affecting their society so much.
Wow. Right.
They were changing their society so much. Mm-hmm. They didn't have Instagram or Facebook, but they took that kingdom dominion and went into different regions and began to uproot the current culture and implement the new kingdom culture.
And you see that impact, though. You see the process that Peter had to go through in his own life. Yeah, he had to go through each one of those steps because, you know, Peter had to learn about his anger and his impulsiveness. He said, Jesus told him, like, Peter, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword.
Even how to hone his boldness.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, you had the disciples who were out here trying to call down thunder and fire on cities. And he's trying to tell them, you need to learn how to conquer what's within you before you're talking about, like, being on this mission with me in the kingdom that I keep talking to you about.
Yeah.
And they have to learn how to temper their flesh and to take control of it. Mm-hmm. And we see that in the life of Peter, to where there's this guy who denies Jesus three times because he didn't know who was influencing him and what was in him. And then after Jesus then restores him,
he didn't even allow Jesus to process him.
Yeah.
And Jesus told him.
Yeah.
He was like, nah, I'll never do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesus was telling him, like, you don't understand. He's like, I would never do that, Jesus. And Jesus said,
Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You made a mistake.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Jesus, you don't know me.
Yeah.
Clearly, you don't know me because I'll never do that. Jesus is looking at him like, you don't understand what's inside of you, but I see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, I tell you, by the time a rooster crows three times, you have denied me.
He said, tonight.
Tonight. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You will deny me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, there was something in Peter that he didn't allow God to assess inside.
And we
of
often take that mentality.
Exactly.
When God shows, because God will show us. Either sometimes in a dream, sometimes by circumstances, sometimes he'll use another person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, brother, or hey, sister, I kind of see this operating in your life.
Yeah.
And we kind of take the mindset of Peter. Like, psh, they don't know what they talking about, do they?
Yeah.
And we look at people. And the people be like,
yeah, you be like, well,
you know, yeah.
Kind of agree, but.
Yeah, exactly.
I ain't going to tell that to you. But I hope the Lord tell you in the dream.
But we have we can have that sense of denial of acknowledging the truth in our process because we feel like it's embarrassing or belittling. And it is humbling, but it's humbling us so that we can heal from it.
Right.
And become better and more in the image of Christ.
Yeah.
But you said, go ahead. Were you going
to
say something?
I was about to speak to I remember when like George Floyd happened and I saw all these people posting black squares on Instagram. Yeah. And like, it was all these people that like, what are you like, what does this mean to you? Like, what are you doing? So I talked to a couple buddies. I was just like, I don't want to post a black square cause that's not going to do anything. And like, but I want to fight for unity because I mean, just disunity no matter what.
Yeah.
And what they said was you start with your own circle.
Mm-hmm.
You start there. Because it's like, I want to go out. I want to fight for unity. I want the world to be unified. But it's like, no, you start with your circle. You start with yourself. Is there any disunity within you? And I feel like it's the exact same thing that you guys are speaking to, or what you spoke to on Sunday, which is we as Christians, as people, part of the Remnant Army, we want to be the ones that are going out there and going to the nations with the S, you know. But it starts within the church. It starts within ourselves. And once we see that happen within us, then we start seeing the fruit of that affect the people around us.
You got something, Paige?
I was going to say, and you see that in the life of Jesus. Jesus started from the age, people don't talk about this part, from the age of 12 to 30, 18 years, Jesus worked on himself.
Wow.
Right. The Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, a spiritual stature. He's not talking about Jesus went from 5'5 to 5'8. He's
talking about. He might have.
I'm just saying, it's talking about his spiritual stature. He matured.
Short King Jesus.
Yeah. He matured in wisdom, and it said he grew in favor with God and man. And so we don't look at that 18 years of Jesus being processed, then becoming inaugurated as Messiah by his father at baptism, then going on and choosing his 12 and starting with a circle of people that he expanded to the rest of the world. And so we have to take that mindset, even when we're talking about the early church. When the scripture said, these are the men that turned the world upside down, it was 21 years from the time that Jesus died on the cross until that was said. It took 21 years.
Yeah.
So we can flip a page and don't realize we just turned 17 years in a page,
right.
You know, of a Bible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we look at it so quick, but there was a process in that.
Well, you see I keep going back to Peter because I feel like he's the greatest example for us. It's just like this dude had this impulsive anger issues, denies Jesus 3 times. And then you see how Jesus starts to restore him. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
The Holy Spirit just dropped something. Peter was oxymoron because he was very bold, but he was also a people pleaser. And part of his people pleasing came in when he denied Jesus. But it came back up again when Paul invited him out to be with Gentiles.
And he called him out.
Jewish buddies came out.
And he called him out. Yeah.
And he had to accept correction for his people pleasing that he was still operating in. This is in the Bible. God was like, okay, we're going to put both of yours in the Bible.
Yeah. It just shows that it's a process. But it also says in his life, though, that Peter got to such a process of learning how to allow the kingdom of heaven not just be a thing you say, but allowing it to be in you, that even when he walked, his shadow would heal people. And so it's showing that the amount of processing that Peter allowed God to do in his inward life from overcoming his flesh to the outside world for him to see it.
And
that,
even being openly corrected.
And being openly corrected.
Yeah.
It shows that process was had within his life. And when we allow these conquests to happen, we're able to grow. And when we don't grow in that stature. Yeah. And we don't grow in that measure. And that's also a hard truth that we oftentimes don't like to receive as believers, is that, like, if we don't do the work of yielding our life to God, we're not going to grow and mature, because no apprentice will. If you stop following your rabbi, if you stop following the way, then you get off track and you don't get to the course, or you don't get to the sea that you were expecting.
Yeah.
And it's not God's fault. It's because you weren't willing to yield your life to him. You weren't willing to yield your soul and overcome your flesh.
That's so good. Yeah. That's so good. And we see it exactly in Peter, what Jesus did in Peter's life. The testimony of Jesus is spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
What he did for another, he can do for us. And so, everything that we're speaking about today is for us to be equipped, for us to be trained up, for us to be molded into the image that the Lord has for us to be able to do our part and share our part. What are your guys' last minute thoughts or conclusion? How did you guys close out Sunday?
Really with prayer, but we kind of just encouraged.
It's a good way to do it.
Yeah. But we really encouraged it, the congregation to embrace the process, no matter where you are. Like, and Pastor JD emphasized that people are in different places, but wherever you are, you need to start and embrace the process of being conquered in order to conquer. Because the kingdom of God has first conquer you, and mm-hmm. then you can be an ambassador for that kingdom to go and conquer. So, yeah just embracing that process.
Amen.
Yeah, and it's just a thing of understanding that everybody's in their own. One of the things that I said on Sunday was, like, everyone's on their own journey in that, and there's a lot of people who aren't consistent in that, and that's not a place for you to live and to die in, like, shame of that, because, like I said, we have an amazing Heavenly Father who cannot wait for you to connect with Him and cannot wait to strengthen you where you are, to give you strength to overcome, and that we have to understand that He's willing and able to meet us wherever we are. And so that's really important. If you're listening, you feel like, man, I feel like I haven't even conquered anything in my life. Ask God to teach you and to open your eyes, open your ears to what He's saying and what you can see of what He's speaking to you, and allow, and then just invite Him into your daily life, into your daily walk, and allow Him to be before you throughout your day. And so,
amen. It's a good word.
Yeah.
Pastor, you mind praying us out?
Yeah, amen. Not a problem. Oh, yeah. Amen. Amen. Crazy. Father, we are just so thankful that we know that in you have made us more than conquerors. And we yield our lives so that we can may be more than conquerors in you. We choose to abide in you each and every day, and we pray that our light will shine, and that we know that we can walk in the authority, and that there's no place of darkness or the kingdom of darkness that we cannot bring the authority that you bring. And God, we just ask that our church is able just to continue to grow in relationship with one another as we love you and love each other. We bless the people who are coming, and we bless those who haven't came yet. And we just ask that you continue to refine the things that need to be refined, and allow us to come out as pure gold, a church without spot or wrinkle, and for us to truly understand that we are seated in heavenly places and we fight from a place of victory. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thanks for bringing me in to Sunday morning.
You're welcome.
We out.
Out.